Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Author's Corner. I'm first excited to welcome my co-host, Paul Hollis, author of the Hollow Man series. Paul, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest. It's really his podcast, Author's Corner, but he has so many books. We can't even keep track of them, can we?
That's true. He is a multi-genre, and he's all over the place, and they're all great books. So welcome, welcome, Frank.
Thank you, Paul.
Hey, Frank. Okay, so let's talk about Daijin. How did you come up with this idea? You know, you're a Western author, talk cyber kill, you write about historical fiction in certain ways. How did you come up with the idea of Daijin? And it's spelled I-G-I-N. Isn't that correct? But you say it different.
Yeah. Pronounced Daijin in Japanese, so I'm told. How did it get? I frequently return to the concept of alienation, because I went through a lot of that in my youth, and I like to explore that. And Daijin was a good vehicle for that, because for two reasons. One, it works with this young American boy, totally pulled out of his environment of America in the 1930s and 40s, and dropped into Japan during the Pacific War, and he has to come of age. And this concept of coming ages, I keep returning to in my books. He has to come of age against the backdrop of a totally different culture. And the second piece is that I always wanted to write a book about World War II. I'm a historical, I love history, and I'm a political World War II wonk. I just love World War II. I studied everything all about it. And it all kind of came together, especially in Daijin. Now, Daijin is basically the seeing the war from the Japanese side. And the characters, I create fictional characters during the period of 1936 to 1945 Japan. And then I put them against the real historical characters. And in fact, if you're familiar with Herman Walk, who wrote The Winds of War and War and Remembrance, it's similar. It tracks a Japanese family and Connor Williams, who was the young boy, teenage boy, and it tracks their experiences both personally as a family and then and in the experience of the Japanese going through that war at the time.
You know, and you know, if you know, Frank, when we talk about specifically enough, you know, the book and the history. So, are you a huge war buff?
Am I what?
Into wars, history and war and all that.
Oh, yeah, I love that, too. Yeah, again, I follow World War II in particular, but I like any historical period that deals with the conflict.
Yeah, so, you know, and that's that is an interesting. And how did you kind of put historical versus this fictional, and how you put this hope? Are you hoping that you shed new light to the Japanese people in this book?
Well, there are a lot of myths that are proved wrong in the book, okay, and especially with the people today that they like to redo history and change it and coming up with reasons why we shouldn't do this or do that. And I hope the book shows that they're wrong, and you can't just reconstruct history the way you want it to be. Writing a historical fiction is a lot different than writing fiction. When an author writes a fiction, pure fiction, he's in control of that universe. He can do anything he wants. But if you're writing historical fiction, then you are blocked into what history has done, and you have to work within that universe. And so historical fiction is very challenging compared to just writing a normal everyday fiction book.
And that's the interesting thing. How do you come up with your ideas of developing characters, Frank? It's got to be a lot of time to put into these books.
You know, here's I read all kinds of. I mean, when I started writing, you got these templates that come down and then to develop a character before you. I don't do that stuff. Okay, basically, what I do is when I write a book, I come up with what I call a plot. That is like a wireframe. They're basically just points, like doing a PowerPoint slide. This points from the beginning to end, and I call that my wireframe. And on that wireframe, I hang plot points with that say, here's how the story will develop. And then what I need to do is that since plot is driven by characters and characters are driven by behavior, that's my plan for a book. So I got the plots out, I mean, the wireframe out, I got the plot out more or less, not, you know, not obviously to the end, I mean, into real detail. But then I say, okay, now in order to drive these plot points, I got to come up with characters. I develop the characters and label them. And then I say, well, in order for them to drive the plot, now they got what's their behavior? And so by looking at their behavior, I begin defining the characteristics of the character.
That's crazy. It's very interesting, intriguing for sure, Frank. And you just always are coming up with a new story, right?
Right. Now, Daijin is very fascinating because I always like to have a hook, right? In my books. And Daijin is about Connor Williams, a teenage boy who ends up climbing into the seat of Mitsubishi Zero to join his fellow kamikaze pilots off the coast of Japan to attack the American fleet. Now, that seems, well, that's ridiculous. Now, what would an American boy, teenage boy, be doing flying, becoming a kamikaze? Well, that's not too far-fetched because there is a book about a Japanese and American born in Japan. Born in America, goes back to Japan, and the name of the book is Shig, and he becomes a kamikaze pilot. He's an American, and a Japanese American, but he's an American, and he becomes a kamikaze pilot. And I know, I said, well, and he write this book, his autobiography. Of course, you say, well, wait a minute, you know, how does a kamikaze pilot to write a book? Well, the kamikaze is very misunderstood. Now, there were lots of reasons why Japanese pilots became kamikaze. And it's not all for the emperor and all this, they weren't fanatics. At that time, Japan was literally being bound into the ground with B-29 attacks and what have you. And no matter what position you want to take as a pacifist or warmonger in Japan, you felt that your family was being attacked, and that they all believed that the Americans would wipe out the Japanese race. And so that a lot of kamikaze pilots did that to defend their families, okay, and not necessarily their country. And so there's a so the, I try I tried to show that in the book about what motivated the kamikaze. And why some of them survived and why some of them didn't.
And that's so intriguing. And kamikaze pilots. Did you ever want to be a pilot, Frank?
Yeah, you know, I actually have five. I got 5 hours booked in a Cessna. I never followed through on it. But.
You got to do it. Why don't you like fly one of those, like learn, get your pilot's license? Something else for you to do, Frank.
Yeah, probably should. You know, no, I'll do that. I'll be an 80-year-old pilot.
You never. So, how old are you, Frank?
I'm 77.
Okay, you'll be. So, it'll take you 3 years. Okay, 80-year-old pilot.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we better all watch out for is the older generation is not giving up their power, their le legacy. They're going to continue. And
No,
Frank
no.
Fiore is definitely living that legacy, writing books, loving life. And how many hours are the, so Daijin is the, just the first of the series. There are going to be more of the series.
Oh, there's three volumes. It covers the whole Pacific War from and the history of Japan at that time, from 1936 to 1945. So the original book was about 780 pages to 800 pages, and my publisher said, you know, you just don't make a book that big because they can't get the covers around it. So we decided to break it into three volumes. So this is volume one, and then we'll have volume two and volume three.
All right. And then what's awesome is we're really going to learn the Japanese people that we might not have known about, right? Why
Right.
Japan became what they did. Why did they come up with a specific alliance? We're seeing the same history right now. We don't know who's taking sides in the world, do we?
No, we don't. No,
Because
and
alliances are formed in a world war, aren't they?
in a world war, yes, yeah, and you know, a war is coming. There's no two ways about it. Okay, the question
Well,
is,
war's already here, but a world war is almost here.
yeah, it is, and civil war. I'm surprised at what's going on in Texas. With the governor Abbott, they're refusing to obey what the feds tell them. I mean, stop and think about this. You know, he's declaring states' rights, as the Confederacy declared back in the Civil War. And and then Biden, I don't know if he's either stupid or just nasty, doesn't realize that what is making us walk into, if he doesn't back off, and because he's not going to win with Abbott, he's not going to win with Texas. And now they're telling him, saying they should send federal troops into Texas. Oh, that, boy, that ever happened, my
Oh,
God.
bring Davy Crockett needs to come back. Whoever's Davy Crockett's grandson, grandson, great grandson.
Yeah,
You know,
remember
but
the Alamo.
see, this is the thing. History repeats itself. Best place, Frank, to get Digen is available on Amazon, but you also soon your new website being developed, frankfiore.com. Right now, you can check it out, but soon we're going to have another Frank Fiore website. Very, very soon. So, really exciting things. Go check out Digen, all those other books. Frank, appreciated the great Author's Corner. We could have you on and do Author's Corner all day long. Appreciate it, Frank.
Yeah.
All right, you're
Thank
listening, watching the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.